Grace be with you. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 24. For the past 7 weeks, we have been reading someone else's mail. I like to remind us when we're in the letters in the New Testament that these were letters written to by a specific person to a specific audience, sometimes a group, sometimes an individual. And not to suggest that these letters aren't applicable to us or that we can't take anything from them, but we must first see this as other people's mail. So we've been reading someone else's mail. It was a letter written to the Ephesians by the Apostle Paul, who sat in prison for what we believe to be simply preaching the gospel of Jesus. He was in some form of prison. We don't know if it was an actual jail or if he was in home confinement. But from his confinement, Paul offers an encouragement to this group of Jesus followers who live in a region where there were countless religions and ideologies and movements vying for their attention and their hearts. You see, the human heart and the human soul are rich resources that pose an attractive target for almost everything in the world. You know, without people, there are no movements that promote hate. Without people, there are no groups that bully others. Without people, there are no groups that promote misinformation that tricks people and con people. Scams take people to run. Movements need people to move. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians was a letter that informed and reminded this early group of Jesus followers, Christians, and reminded them that they were committed to Jesus. So Paul offers this rich description throughout the letter of the Ephesians, a metaphor comparing the old life with the new life. And throughout the letter, he's making this distinction that the new life is way better than the old life. In the old life, we were in charge. We called the shots. We were the boss of we. But in the new life, we are no longer in charge because Christ is the head of the body, the church. That means that Christ is in charge. In the old life, we were dead in our sinful lives. But in the new life, we are no longer unalive, but alive in Christ by the grace of God. You have been saved by grace. In the old life, we were steeped in our cultural racial differences, but in the new life, we are no longer strangers because God has made us all, despite our differences, he has made us all into one flesh, a brand new humanity in Christ. In the old life, we were stumbling around in the darkness of misunderstanding and confusion. But in the new life, we are no longer in the dark because God's Holy Spirit is a power that is at work within us and has enlightened us. In the old life, we were children being tossed here and there by the multitude of false and dangerous ideologies. But in the new life, we are no longer immature because God has given us gifts to ensure that we grow and develop in Christ. In the old life, it was okay to live for self and wallow in sinful behaviors. But in the new life, because of Jesus, we are no longer unruly and our moral code is being shaped by Jesus. In the old life, our family relationships were those being crafted by the ways of this world. In the new life, we are no longer dispirited, and our families and our families that reflect the lives of those who are living by the Spirit of God. But don't get drunk with wine, which is excess or leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Now, that's a lot of no longers. Now, how in the world do we stay on track with that tall order of dispositions? What will ensure that our undying love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that it stays secure? This, I believe, is the crux of Paul's conclusion to his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. Perry read this same text during our time of communion. I want to read it again. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. We know it's a conclusion because Paul starts with, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole or full armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In Paul's final encouragement to the Ephesians, he highlights that there is a battle going on. Not a rap battle like there is between Drake and Kendrick. Kendrick won, by the way. And 75% of you are like, what is a Drake and what is a Kendrick? But those who know, know. And just know this, Kendrick won. Not a battle on the gridiron that we witness every year between Ohio State and Michigan. Not a battle between nation states fighting over territory or unresolved disputes that go back hundreds of years. I want to read these initial verses again because it is important to know what battle we are in. We need to know what fight we are fighting. Verse number 11, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh." That's people. Our struggle is not against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What should jump off immediately out of this text is that this battle that we are fighting is of utmost importance, and it is not a battle against football rivals. It is not a battle against Republicans or Democrats. It's not a battle against Baptists or Methodists. It's not a battle against the neighbor who won't cut their grass. But this is a battle that is out of this world. It is a spiritual battle against spiritual powers being led by its commander, the devil. Church, the sooner we see that our battle is not against flesh and blood, that our battle is not against other people, the sooner we begin to see that there are some unseen powers that surround us, that want us. And let me just put it frankly, those unseen powers want us unalive. Remember, we are no longer unalive, but these evil powers, these spiritual evil powers in the world, they want us to go back to being unalive. The sooner we direct our energies and our efforts toward those powers, then our fight will be fighting in the right space, in the right arena. We turn from fighting one another and we begin to fight the real battle. C.S. Lewis, who wrote a book many of you are familiar with called The Screwtape Letters, which is a book where the devil is having a conversation with some of his deputies. But in the introduction, as C.S. Lewis reflects on our treatment of the devil, he basically says to the effect that we would rather just dismiss this idea that there is this evil out there. He says we prefer to either ignore the forces of evil altogether, or pretend that they don't exist, or we give it sort of cartoonish sort of, you know, we've got the red figure with the horns and the pitchfork, which is just sort of this cartoonish idea of the devil, or we just simply downplay the impact of evil. He says either are dangerous, because there's a battle out here for our very souls to be unalive. For us, knowing that there is a spiritual battle is no small distinction or small recognition. Church, there is a spiritual battle out here being waged against us, and we continually fail to see it that way. We much rather put a physical face on these battles, and this then leads us to lose our minds in our interactions with other people. The text says nothing about your political rivals, says nothing about your theological rivals, and I'm not suggesting that there aren't moments in times where we need to engage those with whom we disagree. But if we neglect to see that there is something larger looming in the air, we set ourselves up for defeat. You see, while we spend so much time and energy fighting with each other over stupid stuff, I'm gonna just call it stupid stuff, while we're doing that, the devil is sitting back going, I don't have to do anything. They're doing it for me. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is against some powers that are looming in the air. Many and authors and theologians, including Walter Wink, who wrote a powerful book called The Powers That Be, point out that there are powers embedded in systems that pose threats that impact our subconscious and impacts our very way of life. Now, you have heard me on many, many, many occasions talking about social media. It used to be that social media was just social media. It's just Facebook. It's just Twitter or X. It's just TikTok. It's just that's what it just used to be that. But church, I'm starting to believe that Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and X and Tik Chat or whatever, Snap Talk, whatever, they're powers. How do I know that they're powers? Because we will spend 3 hours uninterrupted on a social media site, but we won't spend 30 seconds reading a Bible verse every day. Am I talking some truth here? We spend hours on social media. And what do we see on social media? Some funny stuff. I like to laugh. I like a good TikTok. But we also see people spewing lies, exaggerations, conspiracy theories that are not bathed in fact. They're lies. And you know what we start doing? We start repeating the lies. Hey, there's this movie coming out with this such and such actor in it. Oh, that's going to be great. You do the research, it's a lie. Oh, this political candidate did this and blah, 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 blah. Then you do your research, that's a lie. And we become the distributors of lies. At that point, we have just lost a battle to a power. Those are the powers that we are fighting. Those are the powers that soul distrust and shame and disorientation and division and distrust. And we believe that more than we believe Scripture. It's a power. It's a power that will get us to engage in 4 to 5 hours of nonstop interaction. And we can't get 3 minutes of uninterrupted time with our Bibles and in prayer. We are at war, not with other people, but with powers that are at war with us. And those powers don't take breaks. And those powers will use innovation and new ways to fight against us. So then, Paul shares with this group and now with us a battle plan that starts with making sure that we have the right equipment. Paul calls it the whole armor of God, or the full armor of God, which he says will enable us to stand firm. With most having some basic knowledge and understanding of military fighting at the time, Paul uses this as a metaphor for our a spiritual equipment inventory, starting with the belt of truth. Church, we gird ourselves, we equip ourselves with a belt of truth. That means we live in truth, and we don't cover for lies, and we're not led by lies, and we don't spread lies. We are equipped with a breastplate of righteousness, wearing and embracing the holiness of God, so that people see our allegiance. They see that we are geared with something different. It's Jesus. It's Christ. Well, we are equipped with shoes fitted to preach the gospel of peace, meaning we have the right traction. We have the right grip. I don't know if you've ever tried to play football on a field without cleats. Not a good idea. You need the right type of shoes. I find it interesting that Paul is employing a military metaphor and says, I want you to be fitted with shoes that preach peace. That we are equipped with a shield of faith that stops the arrows that penetrate the heart. There's stuff coming at us all the time. That's why we need to be careful and monitor how much we're on social media. I'm not saying stay off of social media. I am saying we don't need 2 hours a day of social media. We are equipped with a helmet of salvation, protecting our minds from philosophies, ideologies, and propaganda. Sometimes we sound more like those ideas and propaganda and those lies than we do as children of the light. Sword of the Spirit, equipped with a weapon that is unmatched, the Word of God. And there's something missing that should raise eyebrows. There is no equipment to protect the black, the back. No equipment to protect the back. Now, it could be that there's no equipment to protect the back because if you're fighting this battle against the world, you can't turn and run, right? It could be that. Someone else suggested this. Gary, come here for a second. You ever see the movie Forrest Gump? Love Forrest Gump. Love that movie. Remember Forrest Gump's best friend? Bubba. I don't know why I always want to call him Bubba Gump, but that was the shrimp company. But Bubba was his best friend. And we knew that very early on that they were going to be best friends. They're on the bus with each other, and Bubba starts to tell him that he knows everything about the shrimping business, and then they're like bunk mates, and then Bubba starts telling him the 800,000 ways to make shrimp, and you just know that they're going to be best friends. Then they go to Vietnam War, and there's this scene in the movie where it's raining. It's like raining for like months and months and months, and Bubba, who's over here with the bottom, big bottom lip, he says, come here, Forrest, you lean against me, and I lean against you. That's how things ought to be. Like I got your back, and you got my back. That's how we're going to do this thing. And then you see that played out throughout the rest of the film. You know, Bubba, unfortunately, if you haven't seen the movie, something happens to Bubba. And then later on, Forrest never forgets that they got each other's back. And Forrest made it really big, and he made sure to take care of his friend Bubba's family because he had his back. Some people have said in ancient warfare that there were times when they were like patrolling areas that this is how they would walk. Now I'm going to walk forward, you walk back. And so, you know, because we got each other back, now you go forward and I go back. We got each other's back. You can go, thanks. Perhaps there's nothing to protect the back because that's our job. To get each other's back, to protect each other's back. Here is the truth, church. We're in a spiritual battle, but we're not in this spiritual battle by ourselves. We're in this together. That's why we have to stop fighting with each other, because it might be that person that you're fighting with that needs to protect your back. Our battle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against our brothers and sisters. It's against these spiritual powers that we need to fight together and protect each other's back. Our spiritual battle is a battle fought with comrades and fellow soldiers and others. And what makes our battle winnable is that we have God on our side and we have each other on our side. Amen? And prayer. Verse number 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all, persevere in all supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Church, I don't stand here dismissing the human spirit, the human interest, human innovation, human ingenuity in fighting battles. People are smart. I've made this point in the past. When I was in grade school, I used to walk around with a big old boom box on my shoulder with two big speakers. If I had to make a phone call, I had to take a dime and go to the big old phone booth, you know, that closed when the lights come on. Y'all remember that? If you've never seen one of those, it's an interesting innovation. You can go to COSI. There's one there. You can find one there. And if I wanted to take a picture, I either had one of the instant, you know, camera thing where you had to like do that and then and blow. Remember that? Who would have thought that you could have all of that right now in a device that size? Man, people are smart. We can do a lot. I'm not dismissing that people have a high capacity to overcome and overwhelm. But we're nothing without God. We're nothing without God. Even Jesus had to spend time with God in prayer to fight spiritual battles. And we need God to fight our spiritual battles. And so, prayer is not simply an add-on. It is that weapon, that piece of equipment that we put all of our equipment on. That's why when we have times of prayer, it's important that we all pray together. When someone asks you to pray for them, This is not just language to just spew out. It's a real invitation to pray to God for these battles that we are fighting. Now look, I have no interest in scaring the people of God. I'm just here to share some truth. There is a spiritual battle out here, and at the heart of this battle is to take us from our new life back to the old life. We're all the things that we now, because of our undying love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no longer, we're no longer in charge. We're no longer unalive. We're no longer strangers and no longer unruly. All that stuff, this battle is trying to take us back to the old life. Now, as we celebrate not being what we used to be, the devil is trying every waking moment to take us back to that person. Remember, we've talked about earlier in this series where we celebrate the fact that, man, the way you just treated me, ooh, you better be glad you didn't know me back when. The devil is trying to take us back to the back when. So we fight. Paul is letting the church know that we, because we are in the Lord, because we have an undying love for Jesus, we are no longer unequipped. We have the full armor of God. We have the fullness of God. Back in the olden days, in ancient times, the Jews would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem for the festival. And as they were making their pilgrimages in these caravans, they would often sing songs. They were called songs of ascent because Jerusalem sits geographically like at a higher elevation. And so that the travel to Jerusalem, they would call an ascent. And so they would sing songs of ascent. Here is one of those songs from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time and on and ever forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. In the new life, there is this call for God to surround us. As the mountains surround Jerusalem and provide geographical and natural protection, oh God, surround us. We realize that the old self is that which didn't have that protection, but the new self is the beneficiary of the protection. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, O Lord, protect your people. It is true that we have the full armor of God, ready to fight battle upon battle against the powers that exist in this world. And they are helpful and they are useful. But the greatest protection that we have is the Lord himself. And so we pray, and so we cry out, and so we confess, Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, Lord, surround your people. Protect us from these insignificant debates that do nothing but divide us and cause us to go crazy. Protect us from the lies in this world. Protect us from all the ideologies that draw us away from Jesus. Protect us from the temptations that are out there to draw us away from the loving grace of Jesus Christ. Protect us from ourselves, because we want to be in charge and we want to rule the day. Surround us and protect us. That's our prayer today. As we conclude this series in Ephesians, may it be ever so clear that the new life is way better than the old life. May it be forever clear that we are no longer in charge. Christ is. May it be clear that we are no longer unalive. We are alive in Jesus because God made us alive by his grace. May it be clear that whatever the world says about us having differences and we can't hang with each other, can't be with each other because you black and you white, you this and you that, nope, we are no longer strangers. May it be ever clear that because there is a power at work within us wherein God is able to do abundantly far more than we can ever ask or imagine, we are no longer in the dark. May it be clear that we are no longer immature, that God has given us gifts. God has called each and every one of us to be something so that we will grow up and no longer be immature. And because of this new life, we can live by a moral code. We don't have to lie anymore. We can forgive one another. We are no longer unruly. Oh, we live in the Spirit. We are no longer dispirited. We are not ones that just walk aimlessly. No, we have a Spirit to live by, to guide us, to guide our living. And in this world where there are powers seeking to take our spirit, our soul, our lives away, we are no longer unequipped. We have the full armor of God. We have God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As we sing this song of invitation, if there's a way that we can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, if today is a day that you want to say, I want to put on this whole armor of God, to be embodied by God's Holy Spirit, I'm saying, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord. Yes, Jesus, your way is the way. I want to tell the whole world. I want to demonstrate that, show that. I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and fight that spiritual battle with my brothers and sisters, because they got my back, and I got their back. Let's stand. Let's sing together.